Today, how bad will the GDP be? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Tomorrow, we get the latest read on GDP, which the RBA was suggesting would be around 0.8% for the quarter, but is likely to be lower. The question now is by how much? To answer that, we can look at the trade and retail data released today, and also what the RBA said attached to their decision, which is also out today. First, retail remains very weak. The July retail update shows sales down 0.1% in the month, undershooting the consensus forecasts of 0.2%. Annual growth stayed the same at 2.4% over the year. That's the slowest pace since the start of 2018. The June gain was revised up just a little from 0.3% to 0.4%. The result implies little or no boost from recent policy measures. The RBA's recent interest rate cuts and the government's tax offset payments have only recently started to flow into households. And the measures, which together total about $16 billion to disposable income, should perhaps show a clearer impact in coming months. The store type detail shows a lift in sales for food up 0.3% over the month and 3.2% over the year, and a slight uptick for household goods up 0.1% over the month and 0.6% over the year, albeit coming off a very weak run, with the gains centred on non-housing related segments. But this was more than offset by declines across other categories, led by clothing, down 1% over the month and just 3.2% up over the year. Cafes and restaurants down 0.6% over the month and up 2.2% over the year. And other retail, which was down 0.4% over the month and up 2.5% over the year. And department stores sales remained sluggish, down 0.2% over the month and up just 0.6% over the year. The general pattern shows weaknesses concentrated in small ticket spending items. Sales were down across all the major eastern states. New South Wales was just 0.1% over the month and barely growing over the last year at up 0.5%. Victoria was 0.1% over the month and up 3.3% over the year. Queensland down 0.2% over the month and up 4.2% over the year. And South Australia down 0.5% over the month and up 1.7% over the year. Western Australia retail sales posted a surprisingly strong 0.6% month gain to be up 3% over the year. And both mining states are showing an improvement, although this has been insufficient to offset slowing sales growth in non-mining states. Looking by channel, annual growth in online sales nudged higher in July, but remains subdued compared to the big surges back in 2018. And the breakdown by size shows smaller retail significantly underperforming. Indeed, weakness is entirely concentrated in this group, which is seeing sales contract at around 2% over the year, compared to a much steadier growth of between 4 and 4.5% for big retailers. This group is clearly at the pointy end of many of the structural challenges facing Australia's retail sector, and small retailers now account for just 30% of total sales, compared to 35% 5 years ago and 40% just prior to the GFC. So it is really tough being a small business retailer. All of this underscores that retail is facing difficult conditions, and that's really thanks to lacklustre consumer demand. And the question ahead is, of course, whether the stimulus that we mentioned earlier will turn this around. I'm not so sure that it will, based on my surveys. Next, let's look at the net exports and public demand data, which also came out today, with the news that Australia recorded its first current account surplus in 44 years. So this is, in one sense, a historic announcement. Australia's current account has moved into surplus. That's the first surplus since the June quarter of 1975, and the largest as a share of the economy since June 1973. The current account printed a surplus of $5.8 billion for the June quarter, and this is a $7 billion improvement on the previous quarter and some $18.5 billion better than a year ago. The surplus represents about 1.2% of GDP. The key driver of the improved performance is sharply higher export earnings, largely centred on rising commodity prices. Notably, it was the iron ore price spike following the tailings dam disaster in Vale, Brazil. The iron ore price, of course, has since pulled back in August, but it is still at levels well above production cost curves. The trade surplus climbed to $19.9 billion, that's 4.1% of GDP, in the second quarter, and that's a record high dating right back to 1959. And the trade position progressively improved after the deficit hit $12 billion in 2015. That's when commodity prices were at their lows. And in the quarter, the terms of trade rose by 1.5% over the quarter or 8.9% over the year. And export earnings grew by 4% in the quarter to be 16.3% higher over the year, supported by the higher prices, up 2.5% over the quarter and 13% over the year. And export volumes resumed their upward trend in 2019, up 1.9% in quarter one, and rising 1.4% in quarter two, to be 2.9% for the year. But import volumes are falling, down 1.3% over the quarter and down 2.8% over the year, at a time of weak domestic demand and a lower Australian dollar. In value terms, the import bill is little changed over the year, just up 0.9%. And net exports made a sizable positive contribution to growth, therefore, in the second quarter, up 0.6 percentage points, and the net income deficit surprised by narrowing the quarter to $14 billion, that's 2.9% of GDP, moderating from $16 billion in the first quarter. That was despite rising returns to foreign investors in the mining sector. And in addition, government spending, largely centred on health and investment, albeit with some volatility, is the key growth driver. And another positive is the resumption of the export uptrend in the first half of 2019, supported by expanding capacity in the LNG sector, and with the lower Australian dollar a boost for services and manufacturing. But by contrast, private demand is contracting, with home building in a downtrend and business investment patchy. Consumer spending is likely soft, constrained by weak wages growth. And import weakness, of course, is a symptom of weak demand, as well as the impact of the lower Australian dollar. And this chart from CBA really highlights the different trajectory of public consumption, government spending, and household consumption. And finally, to the RBA, which kept rates on hold today. In the announcement, they said that economic growth in Australia over the first half of this year has been lower than had been expected, with household consumption weighed down by a protracted period of low income growth and declining housing prices and turnover. Looking forward, they said growth in Australia is expected to strengthen gradually to be around a trend over the next couple of years, and the outlook is being supported by the low level of interest rates, recent tax cuts, ongoing spending on infrastructure, signs of stabilisation in some established housing markets, and a brighter outlook for the resources sector. The main domestic uncertainty continues to be the outlook for consumption, although a pickup in growth in household disposable income and a stabilisation of the housing market are, they say, expected to support spending. employment has grown strongly over recent years, and labour force participation is at a record high, and the unemployment rate has, however, remained steady at 5.2% over recent months. Wages growth remains subdued, and there is little upward pressure at present, with strong labour demand being met by more supply. Caps on wages growth are also affecting public sector pay outcomes across the country. A further gradual lift in wages growth would be a welcome development, they say. And taken together, recent labour market outcomes suggest the Australian economy can sustain lower rates of unemployment and underemployment. I remember, of course, they have a 4.5% unemployment target, which is way lower than where we currently are. Inflation pressures remain subdued, they said, and this is likely to be the case for some time yet. In both headline and underlying terms, inflation is expected to be a little under 2% over 2020 and a little above 2% over 2021. And they said there are further signs of a turnaround in established housing markets, especially in Sydney and Melbourne. In contrast, new dwelling activity has weakened, and growth in housing credit demand is low. Demand for credit by investors continues to be subdued, and credit conditions, especially for small and medium-sized businesses, remain tight. Mortgage rates are at a record low, and there is strong competition for borrowers of high credit quality. And they said it's reasonable to expect that an extended period of low interest rates will be required in Australia to make progress in reducing unemployment and to achieve more assured progress towards their inflation target. And the RBA board will continue to monitor developments, including in the labour market, and ease monetary policy further if needed to support sustainable growth in the economy and the achievement of the inflation target over time. So probably more rate cuts ahead then. And with regard to the GDP, which will be announced tomorrow, it will be influenced by the government level of spend and net trade receipts, but offset by weak household consumption and weak business investment. It's unlikely to be negative, I think, given the strong trade figures, but may well be closer to 0.5%. And this, by the way, explains why government is trying to stoke the housing market to support economic growth ahead, despite the debt consequences later. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.